The previous slides and the previous sound clip talked about how does one estimate the parameters in a statistical model. So we were interested in estimation and talked about maximum likelihood estimation. You remember one writes down the likelihood function. It's just a product of the densities with the observed numbers inserted in it, takes a logarithm, and then finds the maximum of this function with respect to the parameters. And the values which maximize the log likelihood function, or the likelihood function, which is the same thing, the maxima are the same. These are the maximum likelihood estimates. We also discussed how you could do confidence intervals or measure the uncertainty of the estimates using asymptotic theory, using the mostly, probably the best thing to do is to use the inverse of the observed information matrix, or the inverse of the minus the Hessian taken at the maximum. The next thing we talked about was the delta method. How does one do confidence intervals, not just for the parameters, but for functions of the parameters? For example, of the function, or for example, of quantiles. We'll talk more about quantiles later on in this sound clip. And this was the delta method. The next thing which we'll talk about, which I'll start with now, is on page 13 on lecture 3. So page 13 on lecture 3. And it is about doing testing. And the maximum likelihood inference, the maximum likelihood method, it includes not just estimation and confidence intervals, it also includes tests, and these tests are called likelihood ratio tests. And the idea is as follows. As you remember, the general setup is that you have a parameter vector which is in general d-dimensional, and this is a theta. So what you see on top of page 13 is theta, and then you split it up into two parts, a first part theta 1 and a second part theta 2. So what you've done then is you have partitioned theta into two vectors, theta 1 and theta 2. And for some notation, p is the dimension of the theta 2 vector, and then since theta is d-dimensional, d minus p is the dimension of the theta 1 vector. And so in the very simplest example which we have in this course, then we look at the generalized Pareto distribution. It has two parameters, sigma and gamma. And then something one is sometimes interested in is to check whether gamma equals to zero, or see if there's any, if one could use the simpler method that gamma equals zero, which is just the exponential distribution. That's sort of the most used reliability distribution of any distributions. So doing that, then if you look at the block maxima and want to check whether you could use the exponential distribution or not, the full generalized Pareto distribution, you do as follows. Your theta would be gamma comma sigma, and then you plot it, partition it in two parts, theta 1 equals gamma, theta 2 equals sigma. And then you want to make an hypothesis test of the hypothesis that gamma equals zero. And what you do then is that you start with computing something which I denote by theta 2 star hat, which would be, in the example I had, it would be sigma 2 star hat, which is the value of the second part of the parameters which maximizes L over theta 2 for theta 1 keep fixed. So L of theta 1, theta 2, then only is a function of theta 2, and you can maximize it with respect to theta 2. So in the generalized Pareto example, then where you wanted to test that gamma equals 0, then you would look at the log likelihood function at 0, comma, sigma. And then you choose the sigma, which maximizes this function, the likelihood function, with gamma set to 0. Then going to the next paragraph. Asymptotics, the general theory of maximum likelihood estimation, says that under very general conditions, very generally, the quantity 2 times the log likelihood function with the maximum inserted minus the log likelihood function with the value you want to test for the first part of the parameters and the theta 2 star hat inserted. This difference asymptotically has a chi-square distribution with d minus p degrees of freedom. So d minus p is the dimension of the thing you want to test, whether it's equal to something interesting. And this is the case if theta 1 is a true value, and this gives you the likelihood ratio test. So saying this in the generalized Pareto example, then you would look at 2 times the log likelihood function with the maximum likelihood estimates of gamma and sigma inserted, and then subtract the log likelihood function with gamma equals 0 and maximized over sigma. And this quantity would asymptotically have a chi-square distribution with 1 degrees of freedom. And this, going back to the general notation, in the quantity in the box in page 13 says what the likelihood ratio test does. What it does is you look at a null hypothesis, theta 1 equals theta 1 0, some specified value, and you say you reject this at the significance level alpha percent if 2 times the log likelihood function of theta hat minus the log likelihood function of theta 1 0 theta 2 star hat is greater than the alpha quantile of the chi-square distribution with d minus p degrees of freedom. So in the example, the generalized Pareto example, you would look at this quantity I talked about before, 2 times the maximal value of the log likelihood function minus the log likelihood function taken at 0 and the maximal value of sigma. And you compare this with the chi-square distribution. And you reject H sub 0 in favor of the alternative that theta 1 is not equal to theta 1 0. That is the alternative that gamma is not equal to 0 at the significance level alpha, if this inequality holds. Okay, so that's the part of the maximum likelihood inference package. You can do testing. Moving to the next page, page 14 on lecture 3, then there is something, one additional thing. We're interested in doing perhaps more accurate confidence intervals. The previous slides did confidence intervals for the parameters and confidence intervals for functions of the parameters using the information, observed information. Sometimes one gets better confidence interval using something called profile likelihood confidence intervals. I don't think I'll go in to try to explain the plots, but there are two plots from the Coles book which illustrates how these profile likelihood confidence intervals are done. And they illustrate it for the block maximum method. And it's good to think about what these things say because they also tell you about the likelihood. If you try to understand it, you also see the log likelihood, the likelihood ratio tests. So for the two plots, the thing is, if the log likelihood function is approximately a parabola at close to its maximum, then the ordinary observed information matrix confidence intervals would be typically similar to the profile likelihood confidence intervals. But if the log likelihood function is non-symmetric at the maximum, then they could be fairly different, and then typically the profile likelihood confidence intervals are better. Their coverage probability is closer to what you want it to be than the other intervals. So please read Cole's book about this, and in general, please read Stuart Cole's book, both about the extreme value part, which I've given you the page numbers for, and also the maximum likelihood inference part. And this maximum likelihood inference part is really very important, not just for this course, but very much outside of it too. Okay, I now move to page 15 of lecture 2. And that's just two pieces of notation, which if you do financial risk, you'll see it all the time. And we'll use it quite a lot in this course too. And one, the top thing is something called value at risk at the level P, which is the pth quantile of the distribution of the loss. So XP, X sub P, the value at risk at the level P is the pth quantile of the distribution of the loss L. So it's the solution to the equation FL of X equals P. So you've seen this before. We computed formulas for this for the block maxima and the peaks over threshold method. So this is nothing new to you. What is new is a name, value at risk, VAR, and it's said that it's sort of written slightly different in different papers and presentations. The second thing is the so-called expected shortfall. It's here denoted ESP of L. So L is the loss, the random loss variable. So for example, in the apple plot, which I showed you many times, the loss is counted in minus percent gain. So it's a negative. L is typically the negative returns counted in percent. And the expected shortfall is the expectation of the loss, given that the loss is greater than the pth quantile of its distribution, so that L is greater than the value at risk at the level P. So what does this mean? Well, just using the standard formulas for conditioning, then the distribution of the loss, given that the value that is bigger than XP, well, that is just a probability distribution, and to get the expected shortfall, you just compute the expectation of this distribution. And next on page 15, we get formulas for this. For the peaks over threshold model with threshold U, we write that the probability that L is greater than U as PU, then the value at risk at the level P is sigma over gamma 1 minus P over PU to the power 1 minus to the power minus gamma minus 1, provided this value is greater than U. And below you get a formula for the expected shortfall too. So going to the next page, page 16 of lecture three, page 16. It's really an important exercise that you should check if the formulas on the previous page are correct, because if you check that carefully, then you understand the formulas, and this is really important. And of course, I could have made a mistake too, so it's good that you check from that respect too. Now on the previous page, on page 15, the formulas were in terms of a known probability distribution for L. In reality, of course, you don't know the distribution, you only know it up to unknown parameters, and then to estimate these values at risk and the expected shortfall, you just replace unknown parameters by their estimators. And as we've done before, you replace the estimator of PU by P star U, say, which is the number of excesses of U divided by the number of observations. This is just as we've done before. And typically, if you work in a bank or an insurance company or some other financial institution, this is sort of the end result of your work. You're told or you want to find an estimate of value at risk or an estimate of value expected shortfall. And then that's what you use for deciding the strategy of your institution or firm. So these are very important quantities. And the example on the previous page, on page 15, were in terms of the peaks over threshold method. You can do completely similar calculations for the block maxima method, and those will be done later on in the exercises at least. So thank you.